time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans and fans of the Pain Clinic, welcome to the Pain Clinic for February 11th. Holidays today, it's Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day. It seems to happen often, as well as Make a Friend Day, National Inventors Day, and White T-Shirt Day. And if you're into the band, Plain White T-Shirt Day. All right, birthdays today. Ken Shamrock is 59, and he's former TNA Impact Champion, TNA champ. NWA TNA? I don't know. He was the very first champion of Impact. Former Impact Tag Champ Homicide from LAX is 50 today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire, Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear. .com, F-L-O-U-R. Check it out. We just started a boot camp last week, and we're starting to do this. So welcome to the show today. I'm your humble host, The Cash Man. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole down from North Carolina. North Kakalaki, North Carolina. I know I said that last week, too. Welcome, DC.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Not too shabby. Is there anything else going on this weekend?
Is there anything? Yeah, there's some big game. I can't remember tomorrow. No. Yeah, no.
I'm going to repeat the words of Christian McCaffrey. I hope both teams lose.
You hope both teams lose? Yeah. How can you both teams can lose? I don't know. That's a question, you know? And we're also joined by Rob Sanderson, the artiste. I was going to say formerly known, but I'm sure people call you Tease still, don't they, Rob?
Very rarely outside of this show, luckily. Good morning. Let's go, Rihanna. And I hope both teams lose, and I hope the Eagles lose just a little bit more.
Oh, that's right. You know, being a Temple alum, I'm sure you had enough of the Eagles, and, you know, and they did. They got their Super Bowl win a couple of years ago. You know, let it be, you know, but it's hard to bet.
I don't need the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl either. So
no. I know. Well, it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. So I'm just saying, you know, but yeah, that's going on. It's probably why there's no pay-per-views or wrestling events or, you know, much of anything in the major companies going on this weekend, because it's the final game of the NFL season. We'll just say that. I don't want to get sued for calling what it is, and I don't know if they can sue you or whatever, but maybe they can, maybe they can't. But Rob's in parts unknown Rochester. How's everything going, buddy?
Or that call with the car shop right before this show, it was good. So we'll just leave it at that. But yeah, I'm ready to bust out the old sharpshooter or something right now.
That's a running theme for you the last couple of weeks, car issues, you know.
I haven't seen my actual car since December 26th. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Day after Christmas last year. So yeah, you can say that's technically, we're in February, January. You haven't seen it since December. It's been three months you haven't seen it. So, well, let's hope everything works out okay with that. You know, I mean, it's tough being immobile, you know. Welcome to the world of pro wrestling and the Pain Clinic. And, you know, I was just thinking before we started doing the show today is technically in November we'll be – I've been doing this for 25 years. And you know, I was thinking about, you know, the last couple of years we've been doing this remotely, not on a radio station, doing it on our own. And how impossible would it be to go back to doing it on the radio? Because we would, you know, all of a sudden we'd go from some shows have lasted as long as an hour and a half with no commercials to about 40 minutes of content with commercials. You know, I mean, how difficult would that be? Probably pretty difficult, I'm guessing.
I'd say near impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking that.
I think it'd be fun.
You know, I was going to say these satellite stations, they don't care about commercials. So you just never know. But we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling today. And as we can talk all about it, you know, whatever you guys want to talk about in the chat room, we got a few people floating in the chat right now. So our regulars are there, Rennie. We've got Jeff, of course, morning Rennie, Eugene, guys that are there every week. We appreciate that. But there's a lot of things that have been going on this week. I want to start off at least talking about a former guest, multiple time guest of ours, Jerry the King Lawler. Unfortunately had a stroke this past week, and he's apparently doing okay enough to be released to his house, but he's going to have to go through rehabilitation and stuff because of, the severity of the stroke, because they had to have surgery too. I'm guessing they had to probably unblock an artery or something with the surgery. But he was hospitalized most of this week in Florida. He went out to lunch with friends on Monday, suffered a medical episode sometime after he returned to his condo, which resulted in him being rushed to a nearby hospital. WMC-TV in Memphis reports that Lawler suffered a stroke, underwent surgery. Lawler's longtime friend Dutch Mantel shared similar news on social media and added that Lawler's expected to recover. I just read an update recently that said he was released from the hospital yesterday. And, it's funny is he was part of the, and not funny, but ironically, he was part of the Royal Rumble pre-show a week ago. So strokes suck. You know, I'm just going to say that my brother went through one a couple of years ago, still recovering from it. It's pretty bad when you cut your oxygen level to your brain, and that's usually how it happens. Brain doesn't last long without oxygen. And hopefully, I've heard Jerry had some. I mean, I know that he posted or he did FaceTime with some folks so he can talk, but I know that it was like a broken speech and stuff. And you guys have any? I mean, you know, he's always been a friend of the show. We brought him to town, I don't know, 15 years ago. We didn't bring him to town. Our friend Ernie O did for a signing when his book was out. It's Good to Be the King, I believe. You guys have any thoughts about Jerry Lawler? I know that in the Me Too world, it's tough to, some of the things he used to do really aren't PC nowadays. And he's kind of adapted his style, you know, to a certain extent over the years to be able to fit into this world, which is good because, he spent pretty much his whole life has been wrestling, 50 plus years. So any thoughts on that, DC?
I mean, I kind of feel for Jerry. He's had it not too easy as far as, his health scares. I mean, obviously he had that incident several years ago on air. And now this one, I don't think I ever told you guys this, but I went to a card show down here like a month or two ago and he was there. Looked pretty good. He was checking out some vintage Hot Wheels, which I found interesting. I didn't know that was a thing people collect.
They do, believe it or not. There's some sickos out there who love those Hot Wheels, man. They're rare too.
Sickos. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, listen, a friend of the show, Barry Hardy, painted his Corvette to look like a Hot Wheel Corvette from the 70s. Okay. And he drives around to shows and stuff. So, just saying, but, so you were at the show.
Yeah. He was just kind of walking around. He was doing autographs, but I guess he was taking a break or he was just walking around kind of taking everything in, but you know, glad to see that he appeared okay. I saw a couple of pictures of him, you know, posted this week and, you know, you hear somebody having a stroke and you know, you think of him having those previous health issues. So you're thinking the worst, but looks like he might come out of this on the right side.
Yeah. It does take some time. I know one thing, he did make comments when Damar Hamlin had the, when he coded on the field for the football game between the Bengals and the Bills, and he he said, I can kind of understand. Same thing happened to me on live TV, which we saw on live TV as well. And he, you know, that was just like a month ago. So he was like, you know, he was in the news a bit talking about, you know, the time that Dolph Ziggler punched him in the chest 10 times or whatever, and then his heart stopped as he was doing commentary, and he just collapsed. And how can we forget that? That was on live TV. Rob, you have any thoughts on Mr. Jerry Lawler?
For sure. I mean, it's tough to hear that, and certainly good news, it seems, with all the updates. But, you know, I would agree. I just every interaction I've had with him personally has been terrific. And I mean, that goes back to those old appearances, that goes back to 2CW stuff, that goes back to booking him and him coming in and calling a hockey game with me and our interactions since then. He's somebody who, you know, doesn't have a perfect past, and I can't overlook all that stuff per se, but I would say that, like, the things that I've been around or whatever, like, I couldn't be more impressed with the way that he treats his fans and all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm glad. I don't want to talk about it like we talk about after other things happen to other wrestlers and stuff, but, you know, I'm glad that he's at the point where he is now, at least, and hopefully makes a full recovery, and we go from there.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have had him on quite a few times. I remember the first time we had him on the show, he was driving between shows with a cat in the car, and we talked everything with him, you know, Andy Kaufman, and then he handed the phone over to Kat, at the time was his girlfriend, and you might remember her because she's the one that had her top taken off on a WWE pay-per-view. He's always been, and, you know, he was in town, I have his number if I ever needed anything. And I remember when Ernie O brought him to town, he just, he's gone through some terrible things. His son Brian passed away, a couple of years ago. It was just the anniversary of that recently. So all we can do is wish our best, keep him in our prayers. And Jerry, and he's an incredible artist too. My friend Stu has had Jerry do some commissioned pictures for him. Which is really great because Jerry loves doing wrestling. You know, he did Andre the Giant for Stu, and anytime Stu needs like a wrestling picture done, he will commission Jerry, send him money, and Jerry will send back these incredible pieces of artwork. Jerry, huge Superman fan. I remember that because he's got like a room dedicated to him, as well as a great artist. I know, you know, he definitely could do comic books if he had wanted to do that in his life. And hopefully everything comes back good. I mean, it looks good. You know, everyone's saying the prognosis is good. So that, you know, it's like those things when you have strokes, is like you got to get to it real quick. And if you get to it real quick, it's reversible. So we will see the next time we see Jerry. But we're keeping him in our prayers. And Jerry has always been, and like I said, you know, he was, you know, I mean, he was, you know, some of his earlier commentary always seen as kind of the perverted guy, but that was what the attitude era was. So you can't just blame him for it. You got to blame a lot of people for that, you know,
Well, you pair the commentary with the partnership he tends to carry. And
I don't have an issue with the commentary at this point. I agree that it was that era. It's a little weird going back and listening to some of that stuff now, but you know, I don't think that, regardless of how much he believed maybe what he was saying and stuff, I don't believe that that was all him, that you can fault for those kind of things. I mean, I think there's other things out there or whatever, but I think that he's, the career that he's had, he's one of the best commentators of all time without a question in the world. And I think even before that, you know, all the actual wrestling, and being a movie star, really,
yeah,
and everything else. I mean, there aren't many names in my mind bigger than his at this point when you look at the entire history of the business.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, the whole Andy Kaufman thing, And anybody who was a fan of Andy Kaufman, you know, Jerry has very, very fond stories about him and Andy Kaufman, you know, just pulling one over on the entire world at the time, you know, which is, you know, I mean, it's just, and Jerry Lawler has always been right. Andy Kaufman should be in the WWE Hall of Fame, you know, because it's it's more than just WWE. But I mean, what they did at the time, you know, and just the, you know, the he, you know, just going on Letterman and doing all that stuff, you know, Jerry, and I've always been, you know, I've always liked Jerry, and even when he was a bad guy, I liked the guy, you know. I remember my first memories of him wrestling is when the AWA and the and his was it Memphis wrestling? Mm-hmm. they clashed. And they had like the Super Clash 3 pay-per-view in which everybody was wrestling each other, and Jerry came in, and it was against Kerry Von Erich. I think it was a WCCW, and there's just a lot of, you know, I mean, early memories of mine of him wrestling, and he still looks really young and is just a talented man. So we wish him the best and let
I mean, I think with the thing with all that is, like, he's got the wrestling history, I mean, kind of speaks for itself, but I mean, you look at it from a wrestling angle, you look at it from a booking angle, all these things. You know, what's unfortunate, one of the things that's unfortunate in all of this is that somehow he's still been out there putting on good matches on the indies and stuff at his age, which is incredible to be able to do that. I mean, he's not doing anything crazy, but he's putting on real matches, and I you know, don't know if we'll ever see him have another match now at this point. You know, obviously it's fortunate that we still got to recently. I mean, I watched a match from, I don't know, like 2 months ago, was like the last time I saw one on one of the indie streaming networks and stuff, and I just think that, you know, for him to be able to do all that stuff still, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know if that's possible to maybe do one final match at some point. The Jerry Lawler's last match. And then that's when Andy Kaufman finally makes his return.
There you go. There you go. There you go. You know where Andy Kaufman's out there someplace. So interesting, you know. And it's like, yeah, I just think about how groundbreaking they were and everything. He really came through wrestling and really did do a lot of groundbreaking, you know, and, you know, so, man, I you know, and I'm hoping everything works out, and who knows, maybe he will wrestle again. I mean, I completely forgot that you had commentated in hockey with him, you know. Yeah.
And then that whole experience was just, I mean, obviously the actual calling of the game was so much fun, and so, I don't know, it was just, it was one of the best experiences. I mean, obviously, like, I had the one with Brody after that as well. But I feel like that was just one of the most, not just broadcast things, but just fun things I've ever done. And that whole, all of my interactions with him for that, I mean, he was so willing to do things to help promote the appearance ahead of time. And do you need me to do any interviews with this? And then, like, he'd send me a text or a call, like, right after he did, like, I think he did, like, a Man Cow interview promoting it, and there was, like, all these other, like, smaller stations and stuff, and newspaper, like, he was so, not every wrestling legend is easy to deal with.
Exactly.
For better or worse, whether they, whatever the case is, Jerry Lawler was awesome in every step. He was, so, every single fan that interacted with him, everybody on the team who interacted with him and worked with him, I can't say enough good things about that whole experience.
When he was full-time commentating with JR, he still had the ability to book himself on radio shows and stuff like that. So WWE had the faith in him that he wasn't going to do anything stupid, you know, while he was doing these radio shows and stuff. And I mean, and that was, you know, the respect given to him. And so that's why, like I said, we had him on a bunch of times when he was still, you know, Monday Night Raw every week, you know, doing the puppies and, you know, and who could forget Deborah and the puppies, remember? You know, it was like, there was just so many things you remember about him. And it's like, and, you know, thank goodness he's good. And hopefully we'll see him back. And You know, it's just sad that, you know, I mean, I'm glad, you know, I'm not sure the details and how well quickly they got to him and things like that. But I'm sure if they let him out and he's back home and everything, and, you know, might have to do some speech therapy, I heard, and his left side's a little weak. But that's usually like a, you know, one of those things that you see a lot of times with stroke victims. And, you know, I'm guessing he'll come back flying because he's really driven and this is his life and he's like living the best life. So let's move on and talk about something else. And this is something, you know, and by the way, you were completely right last night when Rampage went on the air, they ran a promo on the show saying that the matches there that were for the week before, I think it was. It was Christopher Daniels and Roosh. I'm like, what is going
on? Or was that even longer ago?
It might have been longer ago. I went back and watched it this morning, and it was. It was the wrong promo for the show they were going into. So obviously it was back in the truck where they hit, you know, what did they keep, like old stuff queued up or something, you know? That was
okay. Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I remember
they forgot to record over the VHS tape with the new promo.
Yeah,
I'm surprised nobody picked up on that besides you guys, because I've been looking around online and nobody like pointed it out. But I'm watching it this morning, going, I'm waiting for Christopher Daniels. How come it hasn't happened yet? You know,
the Elite will defend the trios titles for the first time. What?
Yeah, I know. And they started with a 3-on-3 match too, with the Blackpool Combat Club there. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe no, we're not going to see the Elite. We're not going to have two trios on a Friday night. So yeah, that was, I just wanted to mention that before I forget it, but really wanted to talk a little bit about next is WWE setting up their next two Roman Reigns, two feuds that are kind of going simultaneously. And, you know, at the time, because we've got Roman Reigns 1 week from today taking on Sami Zayn in Montreal in an Elimination Chamber match, and then Cody Rhodes taking on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And we start the week off on Monday Night Raw. And I don't know if either of you saw this, the promo that when Cody Rhodes came out and cut a promo with Paul Heyman, where he tells the story of Dusty Rhodes in ECW. And now I remember that. I don't know if everybody does. I remember that because I remember Dusty Rhodes had a run in ECW for a very short one, but it was a run. And Cody Rhodes kind of like gives you a peek behind the curtain about how financially unstable his dad was at the time and how Paul Heyman helped him out. I thought that was an interesting perspective, you know, to start this whole, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, and they you know, put quotations around the world, making it personal during the promo and making it personal. And then, of course, you know, if you saw last night, SmackDown, Heyman came out mocking the personal side of it. But did you guys get to see that promo? And I mean, I know you probably were very, very young when that incident, that thing happened with Dusty Rhodes and ECW. It was at the end of the ECW's life. So, what'd you think about the setup there with Cody and Heyman there starting this whole WrestleMania matchup here with Roman Reigns?
I thought it was great. I thought it was, I mean, letting those guys clearly go out and do it on their own and not be handed scripts or bullet points and speak all of this real stuff. I mean, you could tell that, like, Cody would say things, and it legitimately got Heyman. Like, he wasn't expecting to hear all those things. And, it is a really weird time that they have two really good challenger situations at the same exact time. And that's a really tough thing to try to make both of them look just as important as the other. But I thought it was really good. I don't know how I feel about the timing of all of it, because in a week, Sammy gets his chance. And I really feel like there's a good chance that, you know, not even really through the fault of WWE at this point, they maybe should have done this stuff sooner, but I don't know how much people believe that Sammy has a chance. And I feel like hopefully 2 weeks from now, it's not like, oh yeah, remember that one time Sami Zayn like fought for the world title and didn't win, and then what kind of thing? I think they'll follow up. They've got the stuff with the Usos, maybe down the line, all that kind of stuff. But in terms of the Cody feud and building that for Mania, it was the perfect way to get that stuff started. I mean, and it's just, I don't know, it's a little different than your typical, like, I'm better than you, whatever, like, kind of, like, it was just a good, authentic, I don't know, I really liked it. And obviously both those guys can talk quite a bit, and I think it's good, like, again, when at time now, when, like, Sammy is getting a lot of attention, it was good for Cody to do that and show, I mean, I think he's really got the fans behind him, and he's got to do something to at least kind of hold on to them in this couple weeks of Sammy being the guy, and the awkwardness of, like, oh, I'm rooting for Sammy kind of thing. But I think, you know, it's a nice building block to start what should be Cody eventually taking the titles.
I just thought it was interesting too that Heyman said, you know, he was friends with Dusty, and at the time he said Dusty said that his favorite son was Cody, you know, and then he said, but really wish he had a son like Roman, which was kind of, I know it was setting up just the heat for the very end of that promo. But I thought that was that definitely had an interesting aspect to it. And I think it's also interesting that we're not seeing Roman. Maybe that's a good thing not to see Roman before before this pay-per-view coming up next. So then maybe you can make it, you know, because then it doesn't, like, favor neither Cody nor Sammy setting up either of these pay-per-views without him being there. And that's why I'm guessing last night we didn't see Roman at all, but we did see Jay come back last night. By the way, DC, your thoughts on that promo? I mean, that, I know you probably weren't watching ECW when that stuff went down, I'm guessing.
No, yeah, I did not connect with that portion of it, but absolutely, that's one of the best promos we've seen in a long time. Here's the problem for me, though. That doesn't make me want to see Cody versus Roman anymore. It just makes me want more Cody and Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Which I don't think that was the intended effect, but I would watch those two talk back and forth for 10 minutes every week. I am to something Artiste was saying. I already get the impression that they're just going to brush Sammy off, which I think is a huge mistake. But I could be proven wrong. Maybe it's my old school mentality of WrestleMania being the culmination of long-term storytelling. And we're not going to get that. We're going to get this angle with Cody shoehorned in with 5 weeks to go.
I do think that I don't ever have faith in them. I have faith in them that they'll quickly shift this to a very important angle with the Usos. If that doesn't happen, then I take back what I'm saying right now.
Yeah, no, and I was going to say that last night we saw Jay hook back up with his brother, Jimmy, and they defended the tag titles against Braun Strowman and Ricochet. And, and it was kind of like, and then, like, as Heyman said to him in the backstage, we knew you you're loyal to at least your brother, you know. And I thought that was interesting. And to me, what that means is Jay's going to have something to do with Sammy losing to Roman Reigns in Montreal, because I think he's the one who can go there, right? Because he told him to stay home at the end of the show last night. They said, we're going to have both you guys. So I think.
Yeah, he's the one that can go.
So I'm guessing he's going to be the one to make Roman win against Sami Zayn. And then we'll have set the feud up between the Usos and him and Kevin Owens, Sammy and Kevin, for the titles at WrestleMania.
I don't disagree that that's where it's going to go. And that will be a payoff. My only gripe is that's not best case scenario based on what they've done.
And I agree.
Here was the other thing I wanted to say real quick, because I know we're going to, talk about a lot of stuff today. But, as I've started watching WWE again, getting ready for WrestleMania season, I have to point out that the best thing on WWE this week was a promo. The best thing on AEW this week was 4 or 5 just absolutely solid wrestling matches. So I don't think I regret my decision to focus more of my energy on that than the other product, considering I'm a wrestling fan.
So I, in praising WWE and some of this stuff, I will say that I don't like the booking of Strowman and Ricochet didn't need a title shot, not right now. There's so many other things going on, and I get that you're trying to do this storyline because, like, Jay walked out at the Rumble and stuff, but we shouldn't have seen Jay until Montreal if he can get into Montreal. That, like, he comes out during the match, costs Sammy that, then you move into the tag title, like, run into Mania. There was no reason for that match to happen last night, and I don't understand why, like, oh, he's not here, he's not here. Then, like, Jimmy's getting into the ring, and Michael Cole's like, oh, is Jay anywhere near Mohegan Sun? And then all of a sudden, like, dude's, like, up by the concession stand, like, walked in with a ticket, walking down to the ring with his, like, what?
He's doing a Moxley.
No, like, what? Oh, like, oh, yeah, I changed my mind, I'm back, let's hug, let's wrestle, right? Like, no, that's not, what was the point of any of that? You just ruined, like, his big, like, return appearance, which, again, could have been, like, during the match at Elimination Chamber. It would have meant so much more than some throwaway match against Ricochet and some loser last night when they had no chance of winning the titles anyway.
No, you're right. Yeah, and I think what that, I think the big payoff from last night was just the Sami Zayn fist bumping with Jay and saying, I acknowledge you. That very last phrase as they bumped into each other backstage at the end, near the end of the show last night. So I think that was what the payoff they were looking for.
And okay, I didn't see that part, so I mean, helps a little bit.
Yeah, but yeah. Sammy sought out Jay after Jay, you know, left, and then he was on his way out, and there was between the trucks, and he said, "I acknowledge you." He wanted to thank him. He goes, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to see you again before next week," but he goes, "I want to thank you for what you did at the Royal Rumble," and then he said he acknowledged him, and so it's like, maybe Roman Reigns was right about Sami Zayn wanting to take his spot because he. It was interesting. I thought it was interesting. I don't know where, you know, everything's going, but I know that we've got 1 week before the Elimination Chamber and this match set up. And Sami Zayn, I saw an interview with him last week where Ariel Helwani asked him if he could be the face of WWE, and he said he absolutely not sure about being the face, but he definitely could be the champion for a time. So, you know, I mean, he wasn't giving anything away or anything, but, you know, if that's a possibility, that's a possibility. So, you know, I mean, I know the world is tired of the same people holding the titles. It makes it really kind of, you know, they built up a great storyline, but they don't really have a lot of competition, you know, for, like, people going after these titles, except for, you know, the storylines they built up recently. So I have thought about that recently. But people like, you know, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus are tagging as a tag team. Now, they probably were, like, freaking devastatingly unbeatable anywhere else on the planet, but they're never going to get a shot at the Usos. They're just going to tag with themselves and beat up other people, you know, the Imperium or whoever they're fighting every week, you know. It's, you know, I think we have to have a change soon, and I have a feeling the changes will be starting. There's talks of Reigns having nothing. You know, there was a line, I think, came out this past week too, saying if he, you know, Heyman said, if he doesn't have these, he has nothing. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe that's a little bit of a foreshadowing of what's going to happen, because I could see them beat down the Roman Reigns character to nothing, and you could easily make a face out of that after you beat the heel down to nothing. It's not quite working with Baron Corbin, but I think with Roman Reigns, that you know, that could be the end result. And I think we've got like a month and a half in which he'll lose everything, you know, important to him in the world of WWE, the show we watch. So,
one thing I noticed in Sammy's interaction with Paul Heyman last night, and I don't know if this was a flub or a peek into future plans. Did you notice that he said he was going to take the Universal Championship from him?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I did see. Yeah. So that's only one, you know, that's not both.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah. You know,
so what was that intentional? Was that a mistake? Does it mean nothing?
I think they like leaving foreshadowing things and stuff a lot of times with storylines. So, yeah, it's getting, you know, I mean, I didn't think it was going to get much better, but as a wrestling fan, if you can see it get stretched out just a little bit farther, it could come down to Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns on one of the nights of WrestleMania. that would you be would that satisfy you, or would it have to be the Sunday night main event, because that's really the biggest main event of all?
No, I that's what I was hoping for this whole time, is that before all this went down, they would find some way to split the titles, and you have Roman in the main event both nights, Zayn one night, Cody the other.
I have mixed feelings on it, because I think I would like that, but I also just know going into it that I, whoever is the person or the first person to win a title or titles from Reigns is going to get that huge moment. If somebody wins the other title the next night, I don't think it, I don't know. I mean, you would hope that it's kind of a reset. Everybody like 24 hours later is like just as excited to see the other person win the other title or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, again, they've got a good thing going with these two contenders that people really love. Like I don't remember a situation like this. So in a way it's a good problem to have, as long as you can keep these guys strong. But I don't know. I'd love to see Sammy hold that belt or belts at some point. I don't know. I think honestly at this point, like the way things are going and stuff, I think I'd rather just see him and Kevin go win a huge feud for the tag titles, win those, make those be a big deal. And see Cody get his moment with that. I'd love to see the belt split too. I just don't know if like back-to-back nights, if like you get that same reaction or anything the next night. Maybe. I mean, if so, great. But I'm not confident in it, I guess.
Well, someone in the chat.
Oh, go ahead, Cash.
Someone in the chat room, George, just said, well, Kurt Angle and Impact had two title matches on the same night. That's a possibility too, you know. I mean, you know, just saying.
I mean, Chris Jericho beat The Rock and the Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Stone Cold Steve Austin the same night.
So. The Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
I think the one thing that leaves a bad taste in my mouth is this was the original plan from a year ago, and it got derailed when Cody got injured. And then it doesn't help that they announced him being in the Rumble and they give him the 30 spot.
Yeah.
To me, it seems like, okay, well, we can't go with the original plan. Let's just set this on cruise control.
It just made it very easy to predict, to be honest with you. It really made it very easy to, you know, until, you know, especially because, you know, we've heard stories over the year about WWE, you know, they won't penalize you for getting injured in a match in their company. And they will pick up the plans from where they left off. And that's pretty much what happened, you know. I mean, you know, and you know what, and it would have been, don't you think it might have been rushed a little bit last year if he had come out and took it from him last WrestleMania? I don't know. I think it just builds up.
I think the perfect story was him coming back at last year's WrestleMania and struggling all year to get the shot at the next WrestleMania. I think that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But now they have to be really careful with what they do before this WrestleMania.
I agree. And I think Sammy benefited, obviously, from this. You know, I mean, the plan two was to insert Sami Zayn into storyline, you know. I think, unfortunately, we've got two big matches, two big, guys getting, pushed heavily, to this point. So I can't think, you can't write off Sami Zayn with, you know, this next week. And I guess we all will be watching because, you know, I mean, it does mean a lot to what's going to happen at WrestleMania, the two nights of WrestleMania. So
I'm just worried
they'll screw it up.
I'm worried that not only that they're going to screw it up, I don't want Cody to get the John Cena treatment.
I know
where there's no suspense around it. You know what's going to happen. That's not going to lead to long-term success for Cody.
Yeah, no, you are right. You're right. And it's like, I mean, remember when Roman Reigns was the chosen one and the crowd turned on him and they still pushed it down our throats as the chosen one. He won the Royal Rumble. What happened the next night when he came out? 20,000 fans screaming, you know, bad things at him for the first 15 minutes of the show. I remember it was unbelievable. You know what? So that's the thing is, I think Vince McMahon learned that over the years is, You have to let these things develop. You just can't force someone into that position. As badly as you want them in that position, Daniel Bryan's will pop up and will steal the show. You know, guys who are, you know, who are more of a natural in front of crowds, more of a natural leader. And now Roman Reigns is there finally after playing him heel for a few years. I think I love the position he's in. I'd hate to see him lose, you know. There's got to be, you know, I mean, he's kind of written in a corner right now, holding everything, you know, the championships, you know, and all that stuff. So we'll talk.
You just made a good point, Cash. Yeah. That's why I want to try to be optimistic, because WWE has been in this position so many times where they have the naturally built thing everybody is behind versus the thing that WWE wants that's being forced.
Yeah.
Not taking anything away from Cody. But they're finding themselves in the situation they always find themselves in. Are they going to do the right thing this time?
Yeah, well, I guess next week when we do the show, it'll be the same day as the Elimination Chamber, and who knows how things might have changed by then. But I think, you know, we'll have some more discussions on this, because I'm sure there'll be more elements thrown in. Let's talk about some other stuff. I know we got Danny's got, you got to run early, Danny. Is that it? I think today.
Yeah, I got about 15 minutes before I got to run.
Okay. So let's quickly, I briefly brought it up. WWE giving up on the JBL Baron Corbin experiment this past week, with Baron Corbin losing to Dexter Lumis. And then JBL says, I don't hang around with losers or whatever, and kind of like broke it up, and it looks like we're done with that. I thought that was interesting. I was never a fan of the angle from when they started it. Because JBL, you can say you're a wrestling god all day, you know, I mean, wow, good. I self-appointed, you know, but because I never thought he was ever, you know, ever in his career. And I don't think Baron Corbin's a wrestling god. I think he's a good wrestler, and I think that he's had some good things, but it's just nothing sticking with him. So I think maybe he'll get revamped again, put a mask on him or something. I don't know. Have him go face. I have no idea, but I thought it was interesting. It seems like that I read that pretty much they're done booking JBL on Monday Night Raw, so no more limos with horns, you know. It was just disappointing from the very beginning, I think. So you guys have any thoughts on that? I mean, I know no one really cared. I think when it was on, all we'd hear was boos and nobody cared. And even JBL couldn't get the boos that loud, you know?
I mean, let him be off TV for a couple months. Let him go back to his original gimmick. I think they took a guy who was natural in one thing and put him in something that he was just totally not suited for.
Yeah.
I'm glad they at least recognized that it wasn't working and they pulled the plug on it. Whether or not that's a good thing for him will be determined over the next couple weeks and months.
True, I guess. What about Rob?
All I can really say is I feel like I wasn't watching WWE, and the only thing I really care about at this point is the Bloodline and Cody, and nothing else is keeping my attention. So the Baron Corbin JBL stuff, I don't care. A lot of the other stuff I really don't like that's going on right now with Lacey Evans and all sorts of other stuff. So,
I was surprised that yesterday on SmackDown, they had the tag match like in the end of the 8 o'clock hour into the 9 o'clock hour, and they followed it up with a Lacey Evans match. And Lacey, Lacey's another one who's been given gimmicks that just can't do anything with them. Maybe put Lacey and Baron Corbin together. I don't know.
Lacey, just don't put her in anything.
She's gorgeous.
Terrible. Yeah, she's terrible.
She's terrible, but she's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, she looked great last night.
I felt bad. I almost felt bad that indie star and international pop star Becca with a 3 got to wrestle on SmackDown, make her WWE debut in a squash loss to Lacey Evans. And like, it just makes me think of like how Becca working all these indies, especially in the Northeast, like gets to wrestle better wrestlers every night. until she's then on SmackDown and has to deal with working Lacey Evans.
And you, if you saw the match, Lacey Evans was like making fun of her hair to start the match. I mean, that's where she was trying to get the heat from.
I want to play a fun would you rather with Artiste. You're booking a show. You have to book either Lacey Evans or Marina Shafir. Go.
Oh, we saw both of them last night.
You're confidently my answer now. In February of 2023 is the problem, Marina Shafir.
Wow.
She is the next person that I will admit has improved, I think, a good amount. Still don't like her. Still don't care to watch her wrestle. Still don't really like her husband either. I just don't. No, I'm never going to be behind Lacey. Marina has had, honestly, like, I watched her wrestle last weekend. She's been doing, like, some Wrestling Revolver appearances and stuff, and she's gotten better because she's gotten more confident in, like, transitions between moves and into using her judo background and all this stuff where I don't want to say that I think there's potential there, but she's not good, but she's so much better now than she was even 2 or 3 months ago. So Lacey to me is somebody who's never going to be good enough for me to want to watch a match of hers. Not to mention that I don't really care for her in a lot of other ways too. So,
yeah, I was going to say last night, Marina, she wrestled against Ruby Soho. And then
that was a really quick, it almost seemed too quick.
Yeah.
But
and there was like a little brawl at the end of it between Saraya and Toni Storm and Britt Baker and the champion Jamie Hayter, which is, I mean, we've been setting that feud up for a while, but I'm still trying to figure out, you know, why she's spray painting L on everybody. But that, you know.
Yeah, they're heels now because.
I kind of hope Ruby Soho goes with them. I mean, they're teasing how she's like kind of caught in the middle or whatever, because she is somebody that was in WWE, but obviously she had a long indie career before that too, and it was been in AEW for longer and stuff. I just the stuff with Saraya and Tony is so cringeworthy. I don't like how they're doing it, but I do kind of I like that Saraya is a heel now. I feel like that was the only choice they had based off reactions for me, based off her coming out to terrible music by her problematic boyfriend, her not great promos. So, but like, oh, we're going to spray paint. Like when they spray painted an L on Leva the other night,
yeah,
that was like the worst segment ever.
Yeah.
Like
they got her both sides too.
And they're not even good at painting outs either. How freaking hard is it to, I mean, it's half a square. Yeah. Like they're like, seriously, like it's weird because, you know, like the Saraya turn makes sense. And there's part of me that's intrigued about like Toni Storm as a heel kind of thing, but like that just came out of nowhere. And I'm not saying she's bad at it or she can't do it or it couldn't, you know, be interesting as time moves on or whatever. It just didn't make, still doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I understand, like, why they're associated with, like, these outsiders coming in, whatever. But, like, Tony was, like, babyface. And then all, like, nothing happened to her. And then all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, I'm a heel now. What?
Like, I lost my champion. I lost my championship and now I'm a heel.
So, I mean, at least they're doing some different stuff with the division. It's also a weird spot because you've got your top names in the women's division all involved in this, whatever angles going on, whatever story they're trying to do with Britt and Hayter and Ruby and Saraya and Tony and stuff. But then, like, who's Jade Cargill going to work with? It's like at some point she's got to have like an actual feud. I mean, the Red Velvet thing didn't really count. Nobody thought like Red was going to take the title from her. And like, what is she doing now? Like, it's going to continue to seem like such a secondary title until they put her with, in a feud with somebody like a Brit or a Hayter or Ruby or Saraya or Tony.
Yeah.
But I mean, instead, she's just kind of hanging out like, hey, I'm over here undefeated still, but like, what jobber are you going to throw to me next
week? Yeah. I'm only taking on people that used to be in my baddies group. And I don't know how long you can keep doing that. That's for sure. But
is it the most insignificant streak since Goldberg? And I don't think it's her fault. I think it's Booking's fault.
She's
gotten in that a lot same category.
She's improved so much. I couldn't stand her before, and now I don't mind watching her wrestle. And she's far from the bottom of the list in terms of like wrestling ability in the ring at this point. She's put in the work. She has the charisma, the character ability, the confidence, all that stuff to be a true star. But she's got to get something to work with. I mean, honestly, you even mentioned the baddies. Like, I think they could have built it up where, like, if you had built Kiera Hogan properly, like, she could have been the one to take it if you booked that well over a couple of months and stuff.
Yeah.
But not just like, oh, this match is happening and you know Jade's going to win.
It's like, and they're using her saying
next week she'll wrestle Sky Blue again.
Or yeah, no, she has a problem with one person in her group, so she wrestles her, and then she has a problem with someone else in her group, so the next week she'll wrestle her, and then you know, and so now she's coming out with less people or different baddies every time. I don't know. I think it's definitely less significant than Goldberg. That's I don't know. It's tough. That's a tough call to make there, but I know MJF came out.
At least we're in an era that you can verify all of Jade's wins. The numbers aren't padded.
True. That's right. We're not doing house shows yet, though. Those are coming up. We saw that last week. They announced that they're going to be doing live events or house shows soon, so we're excited about that. I don't think they're starting until April now, but we might get a house show. March, April.
Okay. Their first one's the same day as ESW. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how often they're going to run those, but I think that'll be really good for the lower card talent more than anything. They need that kind of experience with some of the better people in the company and stuff. They're not going to get those long matches on TV and stuff. So,
yeah,
I think that's a good thing. I also just randomly thought about how, they're setting up that match for next week with Mark Briscoe and Josh Woods, and Smart Mark Sterling was involved. And now I kind of hope that, you know, like Smart Mark has had these things where like, oh, this is on the line in the match. Like, what was it? The whole like scissoring thing was on the line before and stuff. Like, can he somehow lose the title of Smart Mark to Mark Briscoe? Because I feel like that could be really entertaining. Like now all of a sudden Mark Briscoe comes out with like a tie on. Smart Mark Briscoe is what I want to see. I'm going to start pitching that.
I will say, we didn't mention that the Acclaim lost their titles this past week to the Smoking Guns. I was
waiting for us to get to this because I like it. Nobody, I'm totally fine with it. It's about like,
it didn't go quite as like it, we were making predictions before, and you thought maybe that Billy would turn, but Billy ended up getting taken out with a belt. No,
what? I think Archie nailed it in our chat this week. The thing that hurt that match the most is the fact it had to follow so many other matches that were so much better.
Oh my gosh, did Brian Danielson earlier in the show? Oh, crazy, you know.
Yeah, you know, they were in a very tough spot, but luckily this was a different kind of match that there was more storyline to it than just athleticism or bleeding or whatever. I think for whatever reason, all day on Wednesday, I was just like, the Guns are going to win this title. Like, and then when we realized that that was the actual main event, I was like, this is happening. Everybody's like, you're crazy. It's not happening. And that it was all worth it for that shocked crowd, for those shots of like Miz girl type people and Lesnar ending the streak type people and stuff. Like You know, I don't think it's going to be a long title reign or anything. And I agree with them not having Billy go right back with them. It helps Austin and Colton be on their own. And the back and forth doesn't need to keep happening with all of this. And honestly, it's not time to end the daddy ass stuff, because that's so over. I love it. The Acclaimed will be just fine. They could theoretically be the ones to take it right back. Unless maybe something works out for the Guns to transition it to FTR, if they come back or whatever happens. But again, similar situation. I don't really know how they're doing it when they only run one event per week and there's not an official AEW school. They're not doing house shows and all these things. But when you look at Marina Shafir, Jade Cargill, Austin, Colton Gunn, have improved so much from what they were as these guys that had no experience. They were getting a bunch of wins on Dark every week, and like this the weird undefeated streak that they had and stuff. But to me, like, yeah, they're still inexperienced, and yeah, they still have so much room for improvement. But like, from a character aspect, from a wrestling aspect, from just the logic that they use in the matches and stuff, I think they're doing a great job. Are they the best tag team in AEW? Absolutely not. But putting the belts on as a surprise on a couple of true heels, the crowd hates and stuff, is great.
Oh yeah.
Let baby faces chase them. Like, that's what wrestling is. Like, you don't need your super popular good guys on top all the time. Like, that doesn't work. Look at Hangman Page and all the other like title reigns and stuff, where it's just like, okay, now what? Like, I think it was a great decision.
DC, we didn't get DC's leaving. DC, have a great weekend. We didn't get a chance to talk about Impractical Jokers getting beat up last night, DC. Think about that.
I'll pass.
Okay.
Bye.
See ya. So, okay, we just got the Artiste and I, the rest of the show. Good. I think Vince McMahon has always been a fan of having heels hold the title. I think that with WWE and some of their best runs ever, you have to have a good heel to make a good baby face. And I think, and at one time, Vince McMahon was the number one heel in his own company. So I don't have a problem with, you know, because baby faces, it's hard to keep them interesting when they're the title holder. You know, I mean, especially if you're not building up a lot of competitors in that division. We don't see a lot of, you know, strict tag teams coming. I mean, FTR is taking a break. They may not be back. So it's like, I'm getting a feeling that could be the case. But there's not a lot of tag teams out there that, you know, are getting pushed every week. So, you know, unfortunately, you only have so much time to create these on TV. You know, that's why maybe it's a good thing we do the house shows and we have, like, you know, pay-per-views and stuff, long pay-per-views with everyone getting a chance so you see at least them. But, yeah, I don't know.
I think AEW is doing – I think they've done a good job with establishing actual tag teams who have tag team names, who have matching gear, they have double team maneuvers and stuff like that. I think they are miles and miles ahead of WWE in terms of the tag division. And I think there are many other teams that could make a case for winning the tag belts sometime soon. Honestly, I've been thrilled to hear a lot of people putting Butcher and Blade in that category this week. Another strong performance from them last night in that trios loss. I think the problem in all this, honestly, is the fact that they established a trios division. And so now that gets kind of like muddy waters with the tag belts in terms of like
because
the same people being in two divisions and like, oh, if we can't get this, we'll go for this. And like, it kind of devalues it a little bit.
It does.
That's where I think they kind of went wrong.
I agree. And I was going to say, that's why, because the Bucks were the tag champs for quite a long time. And the Bucks now are part of the trios. So you really, they're not coming out and doing tag matches. They're doing trios matches, you know. And
which, I mean, they make the trios belt seem important, but does that also make the regular tag titles feel less important?
You know,
like, oh, we have that, now we're moving on to this kind of thing. Huh? I mean, that's not the intention, but it's tough to, I think they need to maybe look into really separating things more. I mean, I think the Bucks and Kenny need to get into, like, now it's time for them to get into a feud to build up for Revolution, and stop having random matches. Like, they've been great matches. They're always great, but you know, I just think, like, I kind of always say this when we're a month out from pay-per-view, like, all right, now it's time to, like, really, like, get these feuds going. Like, we've had, I think Dynamite, honestly, in the last few weeks has been on maybe its best run in terms of wrestling matches on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the wrestling has been incredible in recent weeks on Wednesday nights. But now, to me, it's time where, like, you've got to mix in the storylines more and make us have a reason to care more about the matches that are going to happen on the pay-per-view. And they've done that a little bit with some repetitive storylines and stuff with, you know, the stuff with Danielson and MJF and Jericho and his group and all that. But, you know, I hope that they, it's going to be interesting to see who maybe the Guns face at that pay-per-view. That I would get going immediately. And like I said, I think the Elite need a, they need an actual feud at this point. Like, they had a ton of matches against the Death Triangle. Since then, like, okay, cool, you're wrestling, like, great wrestlers in Top Flight and AR Fox and stuff, but, like, it's time to make it mean more than just the wrestling. It doesn't have to always be like that, but I feel like going into the pay-per-view, some of these people need some actual feuds at this point.
I will say one thing. And back when I first was a wrestling fan, they didn't have a trios belt, but they had trios as tag teams, and it was like called the, what was it, was it the Freebird rule or whatever, where they could have been two of any of the three. And I don't know how that emerged into the trios, but it did, you know. But it's a shame because it's like I said, you're taking the gut, you're taking, you know, the Young Bucks out of the tag division by having them with the trios belts. And, you know, I think that it does water it down a bit, you know, for at least the tags going on. But
I think it helps, like, somebody like Omega, because, you know, he's not in the world title picture right now, but it keeps him at the top of another division. It keeps him relevant and all these things, as opposed to what you see so often in every wrestling company, where somebody gets to the top and then what? And then you forget about them or whatever. Then you become Hangman or Sheamus or Miz, or, I mean, you could name a million people who have gotten to the top and then, like, all right, never mind, moving on. Dolph Ziggler. Like, so I think at least it's good that you know, Kenny's got something for now. I certainly think he'll be world champion there again at some point. It's always such a long break between Full Gear and Revolution that it's like, all right, well, now we're just going to do a month of really good matches. And then now hopefully we move into some more, I want some more unique storylines, because I'm still not invested at all in Danielson and MJF, and I don't think I'm going to be. I think it'll be a good match. I don't want to see him wrestle for an hour. I'll continue to say that, but I just hope, all these other belts especially just need to have real feuds in the next few weeks. So we'll see what Tony's got up his sleeve.
Unfortunately, MJF has set a precedent with these having to defeat everybody before you wrestle me type deals. So I do have a question.
The next feud that he gets into needs to not do this.
Yeah, I think it's
needed to not make him do this. Nobody believed that Danielson was going to lose any of those matches anyway. I love the opponents that he got to work with in that stretch. I mean, like, to see him wrestle Thatcher and Takeshita and all these people, I mean, these are dream matches. But to me, that's all they were, like, wrestling. I didn't care about, like, oh, he's going to get that Iron Man match. Where, seriously, I'm going to have to have coffee at that point for, like, an hour-long match at midnight after a million hours of wrestling earlier that day. But
yeah. So cool. I have a question from online. Dante wants to know, he goes, do you guys watch YouTube AEW shows like Dark and Dark Elevation weekly in addition to Rampage and Dynamite too? And I know you do.
I feel like one of the only ones that does, like, people that I know. I do think they've gotten better. I think that a good reason why I'm so invested in the AEW product is because of what they do with YouTube shows. And that's not even just AEW. I mean, that would also encompass, like, being the Elite and these other things that really do lead to matches or help set up storylines or things like that. Dark Elevation's gotten better in terms of, you know, getting roster versus roster matches that get a little bit more time. And also, I really like it from an aspect of getting to see some legitimate matches from top indie guys that come in and work. Daniel Garcia, Kevin Blackwood the other week, you know, like a lot of the top women's names on the independents. Billy Starks has been working it like every week right now. So I do think Dark Elevation, I think, is really worth watching. I just wish they got to take Paul White off of that. It's the commentary is the worst of any show out there. I mean, he's even like almost every week he's hosting that with Daddy Magic, Matt Menard, and he can't even get his name right at this point. Like, it's just, it's embarrassing. If you can't commentate a wrestling show with more knowledge than some of the fans in attendance at that show, it's a problem. And I'm confident that everybody watching that show on YouTube knows more about the product than Paul White does. And that shouldn't be the case, because people say, like, he's always been a great guy, and people say that he's around to the end of these tapings and stuff, but either he's not taking notes, or he doesn't care, or he's just, that's not what he's meant to do. But that being said, I think Elevation has improved so much. Dark is dark. I still watch it. I'll be honest, I more so listen to it than I watch it, because most of the matches are throwaways. And I will be working on something or whatever, and I'll have Dark on, and I'll listen and crack up constantly at the commentary between Excalibur and Taz. So the Elevation is the worst commentary in wrestling. The most entertaining for me, I can't say it's the best, but the most entertaining for me is Excalibur and Taz on Dark, because they just don't care. Like, Taz will start singing, they'll be cracking jokes at each other, they'll make honest comments about bad things in matches. Like, it's super entertaining to me. So yeah, I know I'm in the minority, but I do watch all that stuff.
Excellent. So I did want a couple things you were talking about. One other thing I want to mention, then we're going to go through stories in the news, which we haven't gone through yet in a minute here. We did get someone. George asked you, or no, someone asked you. Since you're friends with Butcher and the Blade. Oh, Dante did. Dante's the one who asked about the Dark question as well. He wanted to know if you heard anything about Laura Alley, because she looked like she got concussed this past week on Dynamite in her match. Possibly. There was something in the news about it, but nothing's definitive on it. It's actually going in for testing or something.
Yeah, I have not heard an update.
I'm sorry, the bunny. The bunny. I call her by her real name. Sorry.
I haven't heard an update on that. I've been meaning to go back and watch the end of it, because I do think that it seemed like kind of a rushed finish. To me, it seemed like there was something legitimate going on, but I don't know in terms of if there's been like a diagnosis or anything yet. So hoping for the best for her. I mean, it's great to see her in those situations. I mean, obviously she's somebody I've known for forever, and we'll always be rooting for her. And then to see her in an eliminator match, a legit match on TV against one of my two favorite people to watch wrestle these days and Jamie Hayter. It's a great spot to be in there. So hopefully she's okay. I mean, obviously, she wasn't really. Actually, you know what? That's a good. Did she start to walk out with Butcher and Blade and Kip last night? Because I know, like, Penelope got in the ring with the entrances and stuff.
I don't know. That match started. That started as soon as the show started. So I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Because
I was watching
the exclusive entrances on YouTube.
Yeah.
5 minutes before, or whatever. Yeah. I feel like she started to walk out of the stage. Maybe I'm making that up in my mind. But yeah, I long story short, I don't know. I haven't heard anything on that yet. So, and then there's Andy's got his head shaved now, and like 2 days later they come out with the Butcher action figure with his hair and stuff. So great timing. But I mean, those things, it's crazy to me how, like, I'm not an action figure guy, but like they come out with these prototypes, which in my mind, that would take the longest amount of time to like design and get the scans and get everything ready to go. But like, it takes so long for these things to produce.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to me that it's not quicker. Like, between action figures and video games, it's like, all right, well, we're going to do this now, but by the time this comes out, by the time you can buy it, this person might be fired. This person might be in WWE. This person might shave their head. Like, everything changes in the meantime.
Yeah, that's my gear from three gimmicks ago, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like, everybody, like, hey, like, we've got a Cody figure now and a Thunder Rosa figure. And I'm like, this is not good timing for any of this stuff. But, all right.
I saw the Cody figure, too. You're right. I do want to, someone did mention something during MJF's promo this past week. He mentioned someone named Liv, who was obviously doing something while they were driving in his Corvette, and then he got in an accident and pulled her body into the driver's seat. I don't think it had anything to do with the Liv we know from WWE, but it may have, because I saw
our friends.
I saw pictures. Yeah, I saw pictures of them together and stuff. But yeah, someone, you know, I don't know. There was kind of a bizarre backstage interview with MJF. You know, going.
The bizarre part to me is that apparently, like, the Plainview, Long Island, New York Police Department got like 15 calls or something after that, from wrestling fans trying to like snitch on him, like, oh, this guy just admitted to do it. It's like, this is wrestling, like, and it's like, oh my god, like,
Vince McMahon blew up in a limo in the back. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Someone yeah. Save him.
I don't know. I mean, MJF does have an element of like realism to him, but
yeah,
the fact that people are calling the police station after
give that man a ticket. Give that man a ticket for getting something while driving. No. Okay, we're gonna go to the news. But before we go to the news, I wanted the folks out there learn something about the artiste today, that he's not a fan of Raggy or Roderick. So I'm just gonna put that out there.
What's that?
You're not a fan of Roderick or Radke. Two R's.
Yeah, I guess well, I don't really, I mean, I don't want to get into the Roddy stuff. I mean, it is what it is. Like, I just never really enjoyed
the master of the backbreaker or whatever. What did he call himself?
He calls himself, I just never really, whatever. I never really enjoyed being around him, working shows with him and stuff, like, whatever. But I'm not saying he's not a good wrestler, but like, I was fine with him not coming over to AEW when the rest of his group did. Ronnie Radke is a POS.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. Yeah.
Feel free to Google and see all this stuff on him. And I don't think anybody would dispute me feeling that way at that point. So
everyone thinks I'm talking.
Never excuse anything, but I was just saying, like, people make comments like, "Oh, Saraya really knows how to pick them," and she's had some really problematic people in her life over the years. And hopefully, this one continues to go well for her. We saw what happened with Del Rio and other situations and stuff, but Ronnie Radke does not have a great past. So, leave it at that.
She loves those rock and rock and rollers. So, and by the way, it's not Roderick Piper we're talking about. You have to go back and listen when we're talking about Marina Shafir. Okay, it was about 15 minutes ago, but I took notes while we were talking.
I got Piper stories too, but that's another time. Yeah,
yeah. Piper's a manager dude. So, nevertheless, I'm going to go.
Really wants that private locker room. Sorry, this venue doesn't have one. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. So let's go. Let's move on to the news. I'm going to go through the news real quick. We'll give our opinions on it. AEW announced this past week that they struck a deal with ESPN to broadcast all their TV programs and even pay-per-views, I'm guessing for free, in Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific Islands, which is a big deal because they have now a deal with ESPN. Who knows if that can grow? beyond that, but it does allow them to be more worldwide. And these Pacific Islands are lots of countries. So it's like, I didn't leave the whole list in there, but it's actually a big move. They're very excited about it. Obviously, when you see it showing up on everyone's Instagram and on their Twitter, the document, that's a big deal for this company. And that's kind of what WWE does too. Whenever they have like a big news, all of a sudden everyone's Instagram and everyone's Twitter suddenly tweet the news, you know? And so I think that's a good move for them, hooking up with ESPN. It could lead to a lot of other things, maybe closer to the United States. So
I think even just, I mean, Australia is a big wrestling market. And we've obviously seen in recent years a lot of now big name wrestlers coming out of that area. So to hook up with ESPN in those, like that is a really big deal. You know, some of these international deals don't mean as much, but to me, that's a big one, and it could be an even bigger one if potentially we get to the point where AEW has more appearances from a guy that was born in New Zealand who just last night lost a Loser Leaves Japan match in Switchblade Jay White.
Yeah, I saw that.
So,
yeah.
You know, that if you get him on ESPN in New Zealand, like that's a way to grow your product.
Big time. Yeah. And I do want to mention something too. I know someone else brought it up. I did watch it this past week on NXT. We had Ding Dong Hello. That's the Bayley TV show where we had Toxic Attraction break up. And Toxic Attraction, remember, this show is booked by Shawn Michaels. It was pretty much the butcher shop with Shawn Michaels super kicking Marty Jannetty and breaking up the Rockers. That's what we saw in the ring at the very end of NXT this past week. We saw Gigi Dolan get knocked out by a partner, super kick style. And to me, and Danger posted it, he goes, "Hey, is Shawn Michaels booking this?" And it's like, man, that is truly a use of that angle, at least. I mean, she didn't go through, Gigi didn't go through the window and hang there for a while, but it pretty much ended their togetherness with Toxic Attraction.
That would have been more comfortable for her if she did. That kick that JC gave to Gigi. She's always still Priscilla Kelly to me. That kick was brutal. Like, when I saw that, the first thing that came into my mind is the quote of "Learn to work, kid." She just crushed her in the face, and then you saw the picture that Gigi posted like the next day of like what looked like basically like a rug burn near her eyes and stuff. Like, yikes. So I wasn't really impressed with that part of it. I don't really follow the NXT products, so I don't really know a ton about things, but I mean, from what I'm hearing from people, it seems like a lot of people are like, why would you break them up now? Like, it could have still had legs for so long. But I mean, that's when you get the most shocking, you know, reaction and stuff too. So,
well, they lost their leader back in December, and it seems like maybe Gigi's going to get a huge push out of this, maybe championship push. You know, I mean, that's the only thing I can feel about it, is it, you know, to separate them allows them to do things solo. And I think, I don't know, we'll see where it goes, but it was definitely inspired by the breakup of the Rockers. And a lot of people are saying, and that's like Danger said, Shawn Michaels booked this, obviously. And it was like, oh, of course, you know, but it was great. 'Cause it was like, everyone was happy at the end, and then bam, that kick to the face. Wow. It just, you know, and NXT, NXT, there's definitely some big stars down there that eventually will make their way to one of the other shows. And some of the stuff I've enjoyed some of the stuff they've been doing lately, wrestling wise. I mean, we've gotten some seriously good matches in the last few months on that show, especially with a champion, you know, Bron Breakker. And, you know, I think that, a lot of it, what's his name? I can't remember. The Russian guy just come back last week. So it's
Dragunov.
Yeah. Is it Igor Dragunov? Is that his name? Something like that. Or Ivan Dragunov.
But Ilya,
That's it. That's what I knew, begin with I. Yeah. So and you know, of the two, like the JC and the Gigi thing that happened, I'm not sure JC is the biggest next big star, but obviously I think Gigi is. And I think that,
Hopefully Gigi gets to go on a better run than Jannetty did after the barbershop window incident. So
true, because it would be the opposite result of what happened instead of Shawn Michaels, you know, suddenly exploding into the WWE and becoming a main eventer, and Marty Jannetty going to I don't know wherever he went. You know,
that's a 8-series podcast. What an interesting life. Yeah.
So let's get some more news, then we'll get us out of here. Recent WWE Royal Rumble event saw Alexa Bliss come up short against Raw Women's Champion Bianca Belair. After the loss, Bliss sat in the ring as a video highlight from her recent run in times with Bray Wyatt played on the screen, along with scenes of a playground, and Uncle Howdy could then be heard saying, "Do you feel in charge?" In an update, Bliss has not been seen since the Rumble, and word is WWE knew going into the match with Belair that Bliss would be taking some time off after the loss. So if you are, I love Alexa Bliss. I love what she was doing. It's unfortunate that she's going to be taking some time off again, because she took some time off when she got married last year, and I'm not sure exactly why, but, you know, kudos to her. She's been very quiet on the social medias for a while. So hopefully, that was great momentum. And obviously when she does come back, probably will be with Uncle Howdy, even though Uncle Howdy was with Bray Wyatt, the mask. I don't know. I'm kind of lost in what they're doing with that. You know, I think they are too as well. And it's a shame because it's like, you know, he had such a good, the crowd reacts so well to what he's doing, Bray Wyatt out there. And then they're not sure where they're going with it, obviously. To me, I mean, if it was evident, then it would be evident. But when you would take a week off or 2 weeks off after the last time he shows up, I don't know. I'm not saying he took it off, but I mean, you know, it's just not, it wasn't as, you know, not getting those big segments on Fox on SmackDown. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So this coming Friday's AEW Rampage, I'll tell you what matches will be on it. I've got a few highlights of what's going to be coming up. Ricky Starks is taking on Daniel Garcia. After we saw running the gauntlet. Is that what it was? He did run the gauntlet against the JAS.
Garcia Guevara gauntlet.
Yeah. And actually, it's one of those weird times in which the gauntlet actually won. You know, so a lot of times you'll see like one guy go through it all. While I mentioned that.
I will just continue. Like, why? Like, again, the Starks thing where now, like, last night he's the one basically, like, asking for the match with Garcia. Don't get me wrong. Like, I can't wait to watch that match. But Starks beat Jericho. Starks shouldn't be like, I want a piece of Jericho. Like, he already beat him. There's no reason for this kind of a storyline of, like, trying to get to the top guy. Like, he already beat that boss in the video game. The logic is not there.
Maybe he's going to tag with the Impractical Jokers after last night, because the two of the guys from the Impractical Jokers showed up on Rampage last night and got put through a table and beat up. And I don't watch the show. I don't even know who the guys are. So it's like, apparently Jericho was on the show, their debut show of the new season. That's why I think we're getting the promotion on TBS or TNT.
I mean, to me, it's kind of cheesy. Like, you could have just filmed like backstage stuff and spread it out or whatever, but like, to have them appear Wednesday night live, Dynamite, El Paso, then their premiere, whatever it was, Thursday, and then Friday, they're on TV, like, returning with the bat in on a tape show from El Paso.
The little bat they kept talking about.
So you really only went to one show, but, like, we're supposed to believe that, I don't know. I didn't care about it at all, but I know the show is popular enough that some people will. I used to have to watch, I don't even know if it's a bad show. I just had to watch that show all the freaking time on some of those Corpus Christi bus trips, that I just can't even, I don't know. I can't watch it at this point, but, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's a difference from I don't know, whatever. Any mainstream thing is fine, I guess, to help build the company, but, I don't know. Hopefully it doesn't go on. I don't want to see a match.
Me neither. And I'll tell you, if I found it funny, then I would probably dig it more, but I don't find it funny. So I'm just saying, I know I'm probably an odd man out when it comes to that. People think that stuff's hilarious, pulling pranks on people, but I'm not a big fan of the show. So I'll just put that out there. And like I said, I didn't even know who those guys were. the one guy I knew even isn't even on the show anymore. And I think I only knew him because he did stand-up comedy. And I mean, those guys have come to Rochester and sold out the Blue Cross Arena and a comedy show. And I was like, what do these guys do in a live show? I don't know. You know, they go around and prank 7-Elevens in Rochester or something. I have no idea what's going on. So
there's enough shenanigans in Rochester right now that we don't need any practical jokes being added into the mix.
I would agree 100%. So we saw them. And by the way, next week's Rampage is entitled the Slam Dunk Edition because it's going to be on at 7 o'clock here Eastern Time because of the NBA All-Star Game that's going on next weekend. So if you're a fan of Rampage and you actually get to watch it before SmackDown on Friday, you'll get it next Friday before SmackDown. So 7 o'clock, if you set your DVRs, it'll always remember it more than you will, and you can go back and watch it later, or you can watch it live. I don't know. Give them some ratings points. Next week's Friday Night SmackDown, we're going to get Gunther versus Madcap Moss because Madcap Moss won a match last night to be the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm looking forward to that. I'm surprised Madcap Moss won it. There were some big names in there. We got Drew McIntyre and Sheamus versus the Viking Raiders, Eric and Ivar. That was made up after they had won a match earlier on the show, ever after the match. And Ronda Rousey showed up last night, reappearing after the Royal first time back since the Royal Rumble. I guess she got kicked in the eye or something, and she was dealing with that for like a week or two. So Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are taking on Shotzi and Natalya. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, you know, I can't like everything I see on these TV shows, and that's one thing I don't really care about, to be honest with you.
I didn't really care a ton before, but I can tell you I don't see myself ever caring about another Ronda Rousey thing at this point. Like, been there, done that, she's main evented, she's held the title, she's not, like, improving. Like, I'm not saying she's bad or anything, I just don't, like, to me, there's nothing that she doesn't have a character really, and so I don't see her being in feuds that I like get invested in as a viewer, and I don't care to see any more of her matches, so I don't care.
No, and we're getting, and I think, you know, we're still getting, and we got to build up a little bit for Charlotte last night versus Rhea at WrestleMania, quiet build up, so that kind of start, you know, that's kind of going now. I told you JBL is reportedly done with Raw brand for now. Yeah, they didn't think it was doing anything, and I didn't either, to be honest with you, with his association with Baron Corbin. So who knows? Maybe Baron Corbin will come out as another character in a couple of weeks. Give him, like DC said earlier, give him a couple months off, you know.
Seeing a tweet just now from MJF that says, if I get one more call from the Nassau Police Department, I swear to God, snitches, all of you, snitches. It's fantastic.
I saw that right after, or yesterday, after, or Thursday, after, it was like one of the tweets that came out saying that people were called. It's just funny.
He just tweeted this one at 9:51, so I guess it's still going on, but.
All right.
Yeah, you might have to actually call Mark Sterling. I don't know.
I don't know if he really wants to. I think he doesn't want to be associated with Mark Sterling anymore. WWE NXT's Amari Miller is currently on the shelf with a knee injury. Miller took to Twitter on Friday to announce that she'll be undergoing surgery to repair a torn ACL next week. She called it a minor setback for a major comeback and promised to keep fans updated on her recovery. The Bunny.
Never even heard of this wrestler. No offense or anything to them, but Amari Miller?
Yeah.
I every time I hear an NXT name mentioned, I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah, they...
I don't know. I wish that product made me care more about it, but hope she recovers well.
They are trying. I will be honest with you. They are trying to get people to care about it by setting up more like real like that last pay-per-view show they did a week ago last Saturday. They set up like a pay-per-view and it really did play out pretty well. So it's like they just want to get people to instead of just like having special shows on Tuesdays all the time, they want to have more of like these live events on a Saturday night. So they did last Saturday, if you saw it. You know, there was a, you know, I mean, there's some big names on that show. I think that eventually they're going to be WWE, Raw, and SmackDown people. Eventually, Not right now, though, but it's like, you know, we'll see a few of those guys getting called up soon, especially, I think, Bron Breakker, because he's been like a champ for a year now. But back to the news. The Bunny may have suffered a concussion or orbital bone injury. We talked about that a little bit earlier on Wednesday's Championship Fight Night edition of AEW Dynamite. Right now, the Bunny was checked out after the match and then escorted right to the back. Word is the Bunny is set to undergo medical testing shortly in order to diagnose a potential injury. It's still too early to know if she'll miss any ring time. So, you know, if you just keep the Bunny in your thoughts. So WWE is right now reportedly filming new movie parody promos for WrestleMania 39. WWE previously created movie parody promos for WrestleMania 21 that was in Los Angeles. And which were a hit with the fans. And they just showed, like, last week on Raw, I think they showed a whole bunch of the old ones, which were pretty cool. You know, they did Braveheart, and they did Pulp Fiction and a bunch of them. With, remember Booker T and Pulp Fiction? I think it was Eddie Guerrero was playing John Travolta's character in that as well. And there was some funny stuff, but they've got The Miz, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Ridge Holland, Butch and the Street Profits all set down there. So we should see some of those released soon to the you know, after the promos are created and whatnot, they'll be released soon. Let's wrap it up. I'm not going to go through the pay-per-view setup for Elimination Chamber next week because I'm sure it's bound to change, but we have, looks like we have 5 or 6 matches already set for it. We'll talk more about that next week, but Impact Wrestling.
One quick recommendation for people, look on YouTube for the Jericho Housen tag team match from the Jericho Cruise. It was 30 minutes of great entertainment, like not great wrestling, but those Jericho and Danhausen against the Guns with a bunch of special appearances was a lot of fun. And now I'm seeing a clip from Daniel Garcia and Wardlow just grappling, like almost like a shoot wrestling match. It looks interesting to find that too. So apparently those matches are counting toward the AEW records, which is interesting because they're not airing those matches, but.
Well, the Danhausen version of Jericho would be, would that be considered a Jericho still, or would it be like a new character, Jerichohausen or whatever they call them on that, because it's Jericho in the Danhausen setup. If you ever, you know, the makeup and the cape and everything. And I saw the stills from it. I have not watched the match. I'm going to have to go back and look at it now. So though I saw that Hornswoggle's there, and I'm sure he get involved in that one too. I know he's involved in a whole bunch.
He did not get involved in that match, no. But some other people. I don't even want to spoil it. It's fun to just like the match itself. I think like after long entrances and everything, like I think the match finished like the 16-minute mark. The video is like a half an hour, but it's just. There's a bunch of post-match stuff with people. It was like basically like the main event of the entire cruise. So it was a nice way to send the fans back to their cabins happy. I don't know. Didn't really send them home yet, but yeah, it was fun.
Randy just put Danhausen versus Armcast. If you watched last night, we got to see if you watched last night Rampage, if you didn't, go back and watch it. You know what we're talking about. One last thing I wanted to mention.
Lee Moriarty looked great. Throwing that in there.
He did.
Nice to see him get like a main event match on TV.
Yeah, he did. I thought that was great. So one last thing. This is Impact Wrestling. We haven't mentioned much, but Impact's been really, really good lately. You definitely got to tune into it. There's some great stuff going on with Josh Alexander versus Rich Swann coming up. And there's just, you know, it's great. You know, PCO, Brian Myers, and Rhino. A bunch of these guys are all having these feuds right now. But just announced this past week, Kenta is set to make his Impact Wrestling debut later this month. And then later this month means Friday, February 24th. So that's a week from Friday. They're having Impact Plus is having a show where from the Sam's Town Lounge in Las Vegas, Nevada, obviously. But you know, they've been setting up this live event on the, and it's going to be on their service, their Impact streaming service. So, but Kenta coming back to the United States, he's with part of the Bullet Club with Ace Austin and Chris Bay, who are a couple wrestlers from Impact Wrestling, are going to take on the Time Machine. Of course, that's Kushida and the World Tag Team, Impact World Tag Team Champs, the Motor City Machine Guns, who are also the new Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Open Weight Tag Team Champs. I think we got so many adjectives added to these titles. It's amazing. But, yeah, so Kenta's making his appearance, so we're getting to see Kenta in the United States. Maybe Kenta will stop by AEW before his time in America is over. I love, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, Kenta, just a legend. So I'm super excited for that. Is there anything else I missed, Rob? Anything going on this weekend locally or
Not really so much this weekend. I know I'm going to watch some of the GCW J Cup this afternoon and tonight. They've got a really good list of people on their tournament bracket for that today. I know next week, I mean, obviously there's a lot of intrigue with some of that Elimination Chamber stuff. And then that New Japan Battle in the Valley show starts at 10 next Saturday. So that could be Elimination Chamber's a Saturday, right? So that could be quite the long night of watching wrestling a week from today.
True. Oh, yeah, I mentioned Super Bowls this weekend, but if you caught us at the beginning of the show, we talked a little bit about that big – who do you think's going to win? I mean, honestly, someone's got to. So, you know, we might as well – I think Philadelphia – I think Philadelphia is going to win. I don't know. It's like yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great if neither won. That's funny. That's what we talked about in the beginning of the show. But it's like someone's got to.
The last professional sports team I ever want to see win a championship, which unfortunately had to deal with it, 5 years ago, but is the Philadelphia Eagles. So I don't like the Chiefs at all, but I'm going to have to be pulling for them tomorrow. So therefore I'm just going to manifest that if the Chiefs are going to win. I hope the Chiefs embarrass them.
Oh, Dante brought something up. I laughed my head off this past week. I'll finish with two things. One, there's a song called Edge's Bitches. And it was a song on Impact Wrestling this past week where they made fun of Matt Cardona and Brian Myers. And it was – if you check it out, look online for a song called Edge's Bitches. It's like it really was really, really, really funny and just like pokes fun at that. And they had like their faces over, and they had Chelsea's face over, and she was sticking her face out of the locker room. And Chelsea works for WWE now. So, I mean, you've seen her the last couple of weeks. She's the one who keeps asking for the manager, you know, is the manager available? I'd like to talk to him. And it's like, you know, I think it's funny. I think it's a bit funny, but
yeah,
I also noticed this.
No, I'm really happy that she's there and she's getting some like real TV time, whatever. Like I know they tried it before she got hurt, all that stuff, but the stuff that she and Matt did on the indies in the past year plus, was all of it was gold, and Cardona will continue to do that. Yeah. So I hope that they continue to let Chelsea do this stuff, because I'm entertained by it so far. So
yeah, so he lost. It was in the end of Impact this week when they did the song. It was Joe Hendry who did it. And Joe Hendry, who's an amazing wrestler, he defended the title. I think it's the the internet thing. Yeah, that title. So, but they had like Chelsea's face, like a copy of it, and they put it over someone else's head. So, and you got to go back and watch the video. It's cool. But one last thing before we go, MLW is on Reels TV now. Here, if you have Reels subscribe to say Spectrum or some of these other cable services and you get Reels. I think it's Thursday night at 10.
Tuesday nights at 10.
Tuesday, yeah, there's two back-to-back shows. I've got both of them on my DVR.
I should know that, considering
your roommate made them. Yeah. Your roommate is the one
who that show might get produced about 7 feet that way.
I was going to say, I believe your roommate is executive producer for the show, so
he's doing that J-Cup today too. So
I saw his picture of the setup down there. Is it in Mexico? Yeah.
Well, no, the J-Cup's in New Jersey.
That's what it is. There's another one.
MLW was running last night in Tijuana, and then part of that production crew is in Alaska this weekend, I think too. I don't know. There's all sorts of stuff going on. But.
So now, folks, you have another show to DVR or watch live on Reels TV. It's MLW, and they usually run two hours back to back on when they run them. So definitely set it on your DVR. It's good stuff. You get to see some of these guys that will eventually show up someplace else, or you know, places your friends have gone to after they have had your favorite wrestlers have gone to after they've worked their way out of every company.
Yeah, they've got some good, unique people that you're not going to see anywhere else. And a lot of the top indie people, and obviously they've got a guy like Court Bauer behind it, who had a quite a run working for WWE, so he knows what he's doing in a lot of the production aspects. I guess, yeah, in terms of wrestling this weekend, is that NWA pay-per-view is probably tonight with Cardona facing that terrible champion. I think that's tonight, but
yeah. Oh well. There's only
maybe there'll be something else on the card that'll intrigue me, but I kind of doubt it.
There's only so much we can squeeze into the show, so I think that's it. That's it for today. So join us next week for the Elimination Chamber preview, as well as I'm sure something else will happen in the world of wrestling that'll like have us our mouth gaped open and have to talk about it. So thank you for following us. Thank you for all the guys in the chat room. We couldn't do it without you, George and Rennie, and all the guys in there. Definitely thank you for all the comments from Dante, and I feel like Miss Rita at the end of a romper room. And so thank you for everybody, and we'll be back same bat time next week, same bat channel. Have a great wrestling weekend. See you.